Let's stand together, Proverbs chapter number 31. Proverbs chapter number 31, and look at beginning in verse number 10. Now, I want to say this, not only is the devil working hard to destroy the biblical family, he's also working hard to diminish the God-ordained, God-honored role of being a mother. God gave you that privilege. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. I just want to preach this morning on this thought, three cheers for mom. Three cheers for mom. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us today as we preach this truth? I pray that it will encourage the heart of every mother in here and grandmother. Help them to see that they are doing a good job, that their life has purpose, that while many work outside of the home and balance all of it, God give those ladies strength. And there are some that work at home. That's their work. It is a work, but help them to see it's a God-ordained work. It's a privilege. It's a blessed thing. And not to listen to the crowd today, the empowerment of women that want to put them in charge of the politicians and in charge of the government, in charge of everything. But help the ladies here to see that being a mother is number one. Being a mother is after being a wife, being a mother is why you put them here. There is a purpose. It's not a lesser responsibility. It's a greatest responsibility. So help us to see that this morning, I pray. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to give you some thoughts about mothers, some quotes, some funny, some serious. Here's one. A mother is a person who, seeing there are only four pieces of pie for five people, promptly announces she never did care for pie. Anybody have a mom like that? I had a mom like that growing up. I remember when I was young, I remember her saying at times that she would make a certain something and she'd say, you know what, I'm not hungry. I thought, well, how could you not be hungry? It's mealtime. But this was early on when Dad had just started the church and we didn't have a whole lot at all. But I look back now with fondness over that idea that mom would be so willing to sacrifice for the rest of her family. Here's another one. The moment a child is born, the mother is also born. She never existed before. The woman existed, but the mother never. A mother is something absolutely new. And I think about Brother Zach, Miss Annie, Allen this week, Bonnie and Jeff. Brother Jeff became a grandpa. Do you feel older, Brother Jeff? He became a grandpa this week. And what is it? Still in denial. But Miss Annie, Allen, Brother Zach, they had their baby this week, and that's a wonderful thing. Someone said this, before I got married, I had six theories about bringing up children. Now I have six children and no theories. That's not a challenge to some of you with five kids. All right. I love this one. Because, of course, Sarah's 20, Joshua's 16, Sarah's graduated. Joshua's got one more year of high school. I love this. This is really from a dad. It kills you to see them grow up. But I guess it would kill you quicker if they didn't. Oh, me. Here's one. This is for Sarah, who makes fun of my gray hair. Children are a great comfort in your old age, and they help you reach it faster. All right, yeah. Here's a good one. Insanity is hereditary. You get it from your children. Oh, me. Here's a serious one. Making the decision to have a child is momentous. It is to decide forever to have your heart go walking around outside of your body. And let me say to you young people that are here, I don't care what society teaches you today, it's not a game. Marriage is not a game. Not everyone gets married at 18 and 19 and 20. Those of you that are getting on up there in age, and you say, well, I don't know where my spouse is going to come from. Well, what you don't want is your spouse to come from the devil. And so trust God's timing on that thing, and you never know how it's going to come about. But may I say also, you young men, you young ladies that are in, it's not a game to have kids. And I'm sure you know someone who was unmarried, who had a child by the time they were 18, 19, 17, 20, whatever. Hey, it's not right, period, to do those things. But I tell you what, it's an expensive world. And you might want to think twice and get your life in order, make sure it stays in order. The order that God has for it, which is get your education now and get it right and get it complete, whether it's high school or college, whatever it may be. And if God chooses to give you a spouse, He will show you that spouse at the right time and in the right way. And then you get married and then you have children. Here's a quote. Dads, we need to pay attention to this one. All mothers are working mothers. All mothers are working mothers. I only have two kids. And I tell you what, as they were younger, I would go home at times and she would be away at a ladies' seminar or speaking somewhere, whatever it may be. And man, I had about 24, 48 hours of, can I have this and what's this and why that? And I spilled this and all this stuff. And man, 24 hours later, I'm ready to go back to my office. The easy stuff, you know. All mothers are working mothers. If any of you men in here have that mindset that somehow because she stay at home, she's not working. Let her not do in one day what she does in one day and you'll find out how much she really did. If maybe there's a lady in here, maybe you're condescending to ladies that stay at home and you're like, well, I tell you what, I've got a career and I got this and that. That's wonderful if that's what you choose. But God said that a lady, I'm going to create a lady because it's not good for man to be alone. And He said that lady, that husband and wife together, that lady is going to bear children. And God made this a high office to be a mother. All that other stuff is bonus. So don't ever look down upon the crowd that actually stays at home and takes care of their kids 24 hours a day. And by the way, those of you that get to do that, don't look down upon the crowd that have to work. Maybe they've gotten yourself in a situation or you know, whatever they choose. But the problem is we don't know everyone's story, so we might as well mind our own business. Here's the last one. I'll move on. A man's work is from sun to sun, but a mother's work is never done. Pretty good. I've watched my wife many a nights crawl into bed 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning just to get up early, do it all over again when our kids were young and we're in school and we're at home and need to be taken care of. The constant cleaning, the keeping up with the laundry, the schoolwork, the cooking. The little bit of kid and mom time to time. The church ministry work, if you're involved in the church here. The demands of a busy husband and a busy life. That's got a little bit of an echo, Brother Cunningham. But I've watched my wife go through that. And by the way, men, we can do a little cleaning. If your wife works full-time outside of the... Now, you may like this or not like this morning, be honest with you. If your wife works full-time outside of the house, doesn't that make you kind of 50-50 what goes on around the house? Yes, absolutely. But we can do some cleaning. Here's the thing, guys. Be smart about it. Pick your favorite chores. She's just glad you're even helping, amen? I'll peek in the dryer. Towel. I'll get the laundry, honey. Anybody can fold towels. Guys, have you ever been told you're folding a towel wrong, though? How do you fold a towel wrong? It doesn't matter. It's going to be you. Why don't we just shove it in the closet? Fine, you don't want my help? You know, listen, hey, guys, we can wash dishes. We have a dishwasher at the house. My wife likes the dishwasher. My kids like the dishwasher. You know what I like? I like to hand wash dishes myself. If I'm doing it, I just assume hand wash. So it's twice a year I hand wash those dishes. I'm telling you right now. All right? Don't lie, Miss Ardy. I wash my popcorn pan when I want about every other day. Now, hey, anyone can, you know, we all can learn how to do laundry. You just push the start button, put some detergent in. If you put too much, put another wash cycle on it. It'll work. Just put something in there. If you hear something knocking, open it up. You left something in a pocket. There's a kid in there or something. I don't. Hey, schoolwork. A lot of kids go to public school. A lot of kids are homeschool. And man, that's a lot of work for a mom. By the way, that ought to be work for dad too. No one ever said parenting was easy. And what you get today is you get these people that think that, well, I'll tell you what, we're just going to jump in bed. We're all older teenagers and adults in here. We're just going to do our own thing. And we're going to have kids because somebody else will raise them or Biden will send us a check. And we'll do it our own way. It's all going to be okay. It's all going to be taken care of. Young people, hey, parenting is a serious thing. Marriage is a serious thing. It's a commitment. You want the will of God for your life. You don't want to rush into the wrong marriage. The cooking. Mom always cooking. Some of you dads are good at cooking. That's wonderful. More power to you. I can make a mean piece of toast. All right? And I can grill. From time to time, I'll grill. You ask me to cook anything else outside of a bowl of cereal, and I'm somehow, some way, I'm going to mess it up. But moms are always cooking and cleaning and taking care of things, and the kids always need something, especially at that younger age. And then even as teenagers, they want to talk. And by the way, when you get tired of hearing them talk, Sarah, none of this qualifies. You're not a teenager anymore. But when you get tired of hearing them talk, just remember, mom and dad, hey, thank God they want to talk to you. If your children aren't talking to you, you're in trouble. If they never want to have any kind of private talk, now we will have talks that matter to us. We'll have anything mushy goes to mom. If it's crying, if it's about dumb boys, it goes. Y'all go talk about that kind of stuff. But aren't you glad that your teenager will get in a vehicle with you and drive around and go places and talk to you? And there's still open communication. Parenting is a work. Your mothers would say in here, it seems like it's a non-stop, never stop job. And if we dads are honest, we'd say, you know what? She's exactly right. So I say three cheers for mom. I have some thoughts to give you, but I felt led. I read this poem in Sunday school a minute ago and I thought, you know what? I think that might fit on a Mother's Day because I know how tired you can get as a mom, how frustrated you could get, how unappreciated or underappreciated you can feel. But a good mother is an endangered and rare species these days. I mean, just a good mom. There are lazy moms. Probably none in here, but the moms that never cook, moms that never clean, never check up on their kids' schooling, never, you know, wouldn't know what it means to nurture their child if their life depended on it. Let's face it, there are just some lazy moms today. We live in a weird society. Weird society. Man, I was talking to someone yesterday, and I said, man, all you need to do is go spend a Saturday out and about here, there, and everywhere, and you'll realize we live in a society that has gone nuts. 90-year-old grandmother wants to have rainbow hair. And it's just so crazy. It's like, man, everything is out of whack. How many times have you seen, you say you're just rambling, I am. How many times have you seen mothers with their phones glued to their face? And they have no clue what their kids actually need. Watch as soon as we say amen on a Sunday night in here. Watch. You have kids doing somersaults. And by the way, not just ladies, guys too. And I'm thinking, who? All your friends are in church. What's so important that we can't turn our phone on after we leave? I mean, why can't we enjoy the time we have here with our family and friends and you know what I'm saying? I know it's just me. And my wife tells me sometimes, she's like, don't be your parent. Like, don't do it. That quit giving your opinion. It's their life. It's their this. It's their that. But I'm just thinking, if your kids are running all over the place while you're on your phone, what do you do at home? If that's the habit, then what's going on at home? I'll move on. There aren't lazy moms. By the way, there are lazy dads. There are busy moms. There are busy dads. Sometimes there are moms busy with a career, busy with other family, busy doing other things. I mean, just encourage your mom, never be too busy for your husband first and for your children. You've got to have that family time. Now, let's look at it here in Proverbs chapter 31. Let me read you this, and then we'll go down Proverbs 31 and get you out of here today. And I want you to look at this from a mom's perspective. Especially those of you who think, man, it's never going to end. We were in Tennessee this week, and the Orms came up. They flew up with us. My parents flew up with us, and Brother Greg and Miss Tiffany made a week's vacation out of it, and I loved it because Brother Greg, you know, is older and has younger kids. He's sending me pictures of himself on a little bitty roller coaster, and he just got that Brother Greg look, you know, and he said, man, that's a killer drive. I said, it is from Knoxville. It's a horrible drive, And I sent him a picture of a plane. And I said, I fly next time. He said, when you have a 5-year-old like mine, you do not put that 5-year-old on a plane with other people. I get it. It's like, man, it's some days it's like it's never going to end. Now, I'll be honest with you. And I told you it's more teaching, talking than preaching this morning, but time really does fly. Really does. I can't believe Joshua just has one more year of school or one more year of life, whichever comes first. One more year of school. And Sarah's already graduated from college and man, we're going to have empty nest in another year. And I'm trying not to do backflips. By the way, Josh is working in bus church. I'll let y'all in on a secret. It's not Sarah. Let's go back again to my parents raised 3 boys. It's like, how did y'all do it? If I had us 3, I would have gotten rid of us 3 a long time ago. So anyways, 3 stooges, yes, no doubt about it. But time really does fly. Man, Brother Duncan, your daughter's graduating high school in 2 weeks. Oh, yeah, you'll be crying. Yeah. There's songs about missing my little girl, and Joshua's like, Dad, when Sarah went to college, you listened to that, you cried, I saw you. I said, I'm going to listen to the same song when you go to college. Oh, Proverbs chapter number 31. Let's look at it here. No matter what age your kids are, you think it's going to go on forever. By the way, just enjoy what you have now. Enjoy every year. Enjoy every division of their life, if you will. It's all different. It really is. Miss Orms told us years ago, told Miss Oddie, said, I tell you what, man, you think it's crazy having little kids. Wait till they're teenagers. They'll run you ragged just having to be places. And we experienced that, and it made sense. And thank God for vehicles and young people having a car to go on their own and do things and get Dad a Blizzard at Dairy Queen, things like that. But I want to read this real quick to you parents, especially those of you with littler kids. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure comes about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. You never can tell just how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. And I just felt led there for all you parents in here, and you, especially you moms who are home with the kids all the time, is, yeah, you know, you see people being able to do things or go places. You're like, man, I got these kids. Enjoy whatever. Enjoy where you are in life right now. Find some friends where you are in life right now. And I promise you that time flies, and but don't give up and don't quit. And man, it's so rewarding watching your children grow up. I remember when Joshua was really little, and he's always been a rascal and a comedian. And boy, when he was young, junior boy, probably early junior boy, if not primary, I remember Miss Audie and I having the conversation. Do you think he needs a boys' home? Does he need padded walls? Does he? And listen, it doesn't. I've told you he's like his uncles. And I remember my grandmother watching Sean ride a tricycle on the road. And Sean had nearly burned our barn down. He had done several things at that point. And I remember my grandmother saying, his nickname was Tailgate because he was the final grandchild. She said, Elizabeth Ann, do you think Tailgate has mental problems? You know? Happy Grandparents Day to you too. Thank you, grandmother. So anyways, all right, let's look at it here quickly. Proverbs 31, and I would encourage every lady to read this over and over and over and over again. Let me give you some things about a good lady. Number one, she's trustworthy and loyal to dad while he is away. Look at verse number 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Let me encourage you, mom and dad, we've got to be on the same team. From the baby, from the pregnancy, all the way up through the teen years, mom and dad have got to be on the same page, and they've got to know mom and dad are on the same page. And if dad says it's going to be one way and he leaves home, it needs to be that way all day long while dad is not around. And if mom says, hey, the kid's been in trouble all day, he can't do this or have that, dad, don't go in the house and do opposite of what mom did in order to try to be the hero for the day. Mom and dad have to be on the same page. Number two is this. I see about this good lady here. She is a willing worker. She is a willing worker. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. All right, let the Holy Spirit encourage you in some area or challenge you in some area today. She is a willing worker. Be a worker. Not only that, I see she's a wise spender. She's a wise spender. Now, there's a whole lesson in and of itself. Mom and dad, we've got to be on the same page financially. And we can't have one outspending the other. And we can't have people who constantly want to spend and spend and spend. Mom and dad, you've got to be on the same page. And I tell you what, it's not getting any cheaper in this day and age. Was telling one of our men earlier after the men's prayer meeting that if you read about it, one of the major pipelines was shut down a couple days ago in America because of a cyber attack. Look for those gas prices to skyrocket this week even more than they already have in the last two months, those first 100 days. Look at what happens. I tell you what we got to have is a wise spender. Look at verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. She considereth. She didn't just run out and spend. She didn't just run out and say, that's what we want to do. Neither should the husband. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. And verse number 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. So she's a wise spender and even has some left over to be a help and a blessing to others. What else about this good lady here? I notice also she takes care of her home and she takes care of her children. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens, making sure her family is taken care of. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Now, we blow right past that normally in Texas, but we don't anymore, not after February, right? And but still, man, you shouldn't see a kid out in 30-degree weather with no jacket on, no coat on. I mean, if they took it off, yes. If they threw the shoes off, yes. But there ought to be attentive parents making sure these kids are taken care of the right way. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household. I saw a picture the other day of a preacher friend. He was traveling. He was preaching in another state. He took his little daughter with him, little young daughter, probably primary age girl. And the picture was like, me and my daughter traveling together, and dad's all slicked up, combed hair. And he's like, and the daughter looked like, I mean, she just woke up and got out of bed. Her hair is like, woof. And it was at Linus, I think. Her hair is all over the place. And like, you could tell she's hanging out with dad, and dad had no clue how to comb that girl's hair. Hey, listen to me. It's one thing for us to be poor. It's one thing for us not to have much, but our kids shouldn't look like they fell out of the back end of a Goodwill. My dad used to tell me about pastoring. He'd say, son, listen, don't let the church fall apart. Anybody can get a gallon of paint and paint a wall for just a little bit of money and make something look decent. And friend, listen to me. I realize what our kids can do to themselves at these young ages. But you had them. Quit complaining about them. Take care of them. Look well to the ways. Put your phone down for a little while. Forget about your friends for a little while. And say, I want my young man to walk out of here and look decent. I want my young daughter to walk out of here and look decent. That tells of the home they're coming out of. She takes care of her home. She takes care of her children. Notice also she takes care of herself. In verse number 22, she maketh herself covering the tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She's taking care of herself also. Not only that, notice here she is sacrificial and puts her family first. In that same verse, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Now, I'm not saying ladies don't buy anything. What I'm saying there is, did you notice this lady? She's not just going out spending, saying, well, I've got to have a new purse. It's been 2 weeks. Well, I've got to have the dress of the month club. Well, I've got to have my nails done. It's been 2 days. Now, I'm not saying don't do all those things, ladies. I'm not telling you how to live your life. I'm just saying this lady she's taking care of herself. She's being sacrificial. I remember my mother. I remember this plain as day. I graduated from Wills Point High School, the Mighty Fighting Tiger class of 1993. My brother was class of 91. I don't know if my younger brother ever graduated, but I remember my mom taking us to school, and I remember mom being sick. I remember exactly where we were. In fact, Brother Tommy, your parents lived over there on that corner in that two-story house. I remember my mom stopping and throwing up and getting back in that car and driving us to school. Why was it? Because she's just a sacrificial mother who made sure that her kids were taken care of and that things were done. And friend, listen, that's the type of moms we need today. I notice also she makes time for her husband. Verse number 11, the heart of her husband that safely trusts in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. Now you can read whatever commentary, you can think of whatever that is. I'm in the verse there, I'm saying, I really think it means he's not running off looking for another woman because she takes care of him. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She makes time for her husband. And friend, listen, we can go to church all we want, read the Bible all we want. But if we want to get the biblical family back, it's got to be back where mom and dad, we're on the team. She comes before my kids. She comes before my parents. She comes before this church. I come before her parents. I come before our kids. I come before this church or any other job that she has. We're first. God is first in all of our lives. Our spouse must be second. Children come third. But yet today, all this other stuff is tugging at our time and tugging at our relationships. Hey, she makes time for her husband. Not only that, boy, this is important. She makes time to walk with God. Look at verse number 30. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You know what? We need some spiritual moms and some spiritual dads. You know what, mom and dad, you know what we ought to be concerned with more than what education they get, more than what career they get one day? We ought to be concerned with, is there a moment in their life where they've gotten born again, where they've trusted Christ as their personal Savior? Has my child been baptized? Does my child enjoy going to church? Do they seem to enjoy going to church? Has my child been reading their Bible? Am I reading my Bible? Are they seeing my Bible around the house? Do they see outside of church something spiritual? And I'm saying to you that we as moms, as dads, we must have a walk with God. We've got to have Christ-centered homes. Why? Because the devil's attacking the home. The devil is attacking the biblical home. I notice this also. She is supportive of her family. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. I went to Israel back in 2003, 2004. And you literally, when you go to Jerusalem, they have those stone gates and they're open. And I'm not kidding. They have like stone, from my memory, they have like stone benches kind of built into the wall. And for us in our live nativity scene, for us, I'm in Israel, I mean in Jerusalem, and it looked like it. The guys in the robes, they look like they just left our nativity scene. And they're all sitting there. I don't know if it was a no women. I don't take that up with them. But it was, I mean, the guys were sitting on the bench. That's what this is talking about. You say, how does that relate to us? It's like a bunch of old men down at the barber shop. It's like my dad, if he moves here, I swear he'll be at Dairy Palace every morning in Canton, eating breakfast because he loves it, talking about the weather, talking about what I'm doing wrong, talking about, you know, what are these kids today, I tell you. And that's great. That's what I want to do one day. It's my goal is to sit on the porch and bark at everybody walking by. The Bible says there that her husband is known in the gates. That's where all the leaders were. That's where they would talk and confer. And verse 31, but look here, here's the thing, and we'll be just about done. But this good mom, this good wife, this good lady, yes, the work is hard. I didn't cover it halfway decently today, but read all of that. This lady wasn't just sitting at home waiting for Tarzan to get home and tell her what to do. And this woman is working hard. She is working outside of the home if you read that passage. She's selling things. She's buying things. She's doing things, but she's looking well to the way of her household. It's got to be a priority in your life. And look at what happens here in verse number 28. Again, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. How much time do you spend talking good about your spouse to other people? How much time do you spend talking bad about your spouse to other people? My wife has her flaws, but chances are you don't know what they are. I have my flaws. Chances are you don't know what they are. She holds a lot in. Why? Because it's not our job to tell everybody else something negative about our spouse. Look at the very last verse there. Give her of the fruit of her hands. What a hard-working lady. And let her own works praise her in the gates. Guys, in the gates. Wait a minute. Back up. Who was standing in the gates? The husband. What does that mean? That means you get to go to work and say, man, I tell you what. Man, I had the best bacon and eggs this morning. Mm. Now, if you go to work at 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, go by the donut shop. If you go in a little bit later and you're able to sit down and have some breakfast, like, man, who made those? Well, not me. I don't know how to cook. But man, my wife made, my wife made a good roast. And boy, my wife made a good supper. And then wife, you're saying, boy, my husband grilled some good hamburgers the other day. And boy, my husband, he keeps that yard looking nice. Man, my husband makes sure if things are broken around the house that they get fixed. And listen, I just told the Sunday school class a minute ago, and our lesson was what we're seeking, we'll find. You come to church mad and you're just waiting for somebody to make you mad. You're going to find somebody to make you mad. Maybe me. You come to church going, I can't wait to be there. I'm excited about it. You're going to find good times. And you want to just constantly dwell on, well, she doesn't do this and she doesn't do that and he doesn't do this and he doesn't do that. Then that's what your home's going to become. I say three cheers for mom. Three cheers for your mom, my mom. Thank God for those grandmothers who raise kids and are still a godly example to their grandkids now. But I say three cheers to our wife. You say, well, she doesn't do what that wife. Oh, good, because you don't do what that guy does. Oh, it goes both ways, huh? Three cheers for mom. I wonder this morning, it's kind of Mother's Day, but I wonder this morning if there's somebody here who doesn't know Christ as your Savior. Doesn't matter what society teaches about the home, about marriage, about kids, about parenting, being a mom, being a stay-at-home mom, if you get that good fortune. Doesn't matter about any of that. That's all found in the Bible. You can pattern your life after the Bible and you could be okay, because God invented it all, and if we follow the inventor's instructions, we're going to be okay. But it all starts with being able to spiritually understand things, being able to be read the Bible that is spiritually discerned or spiritually understood, and be able to say, you know what, I can apply that to my life. And the way that happens is I must be born again. I must first be a child of God. I must first become a Christian. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray that today, man, woman, boy, or girl, today will be the day you'll walk the aisle and be saved.